Hello and welcome to The Gaming Duo, where friendships are built through gaming. We're your hosts, Kelvin and Rob, and if you're joining us for the first time, first off, thank you for tuning in. We're the podcast that keeps you, the gamers, up to date on the latest news and speculations about the gaming industry. Rob, I thought you were putting on like a funny hat or something at the time, so that's why I was like...
Oh, no, I was just putting on my beanie. That's hilarious, actually. That's funny you thought that.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just chilling. I have a funny story to tell you.
Oh, I like these. Let's go.
Yeah.
You should make this a segment because you always have good stories.
Not every day. I can't always promise them, but I'll tell you this one. So, you know, we went to PAX East, right?
We did, yes.
We went to PAX East, and we got a giveaway where we won, not one, but they were giving out mouse pads, right?
Yes.
The large mouse pads. Yeah, you have yours right there. It's medium size. It's not the big ones that cover your whole entire desk, but it's like the one that's bigger than like the regular small ones that you normally see. It's a pretty nice quality mouse pad. And I think it was from Errors. Yeah.
Yeah, Errors.
I got to use it for maybe a day.
No.
Because previously, I tend to open a beer or a drink when we open, you know, when we start this episode. And when I open the can, it overflows onto the mouse pad. So I had this mouse pad. I went to open a beer and it happened again on the brand new mouse pad that I just had. So now I have no mouse pad on my desk now. So
are you shaking the fucking can before you open it? Like, what are you doing with these cans before you open the can?
You know, it could be the beer itself. It could have been like that cone of beer that just like.
Is it the same beer that keeps?
Yeah, like, it was the same beer. So like maybe I'm gonna try it without a mouse pad. I'm gonna open it and see what happens with a new beer. So stay tuned, guys. If it happens,
stay tuned. Or maybe you could just open it downstairs before you get up here. You know, do you have like a stash in your room? Is that why?
No, I don't have a
stash. I'm assuming what you're doing is you're walking downstairs, opening your fridge, grabbing the beer, walking upstairs, sitting down, opening it, and then spilling it all over your mouse pad. So all right, why don't you just go downstairs, open the fridge, grab the beer, open the beer, you know, like open the can there,
okay,
come upstairs, and then sit down.
But what if it starts splashing up the stairs as I'm going up the stairs? Listen.
Hey, man.
Well, we're going to have to see.
I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help you out here. You're losing too many mouse pads, right? You're losing too many mouse. This is, like you said, this is a good quality one. So mine is still wrapped. I haven't even opened mine, you know, but
you could donate it to the Robert Garcia Fund mouse pad.
I might have to. ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for tuning in. This is the Gaming Duo podcast. I hope everyone's well. Hope everyone's tuning in and just having a good day. Rob, I forgot to talk about this yesterday. We played Stellar Blade, the demo.
We did.
Can you give us a little bit of your insight on the Stellar Blade demo? Did you like it? Did you hate it? What did you think? What are your thoughts?
If you guys don't know what Stellar Blade is, it is a new action game that just came out. It was just a demo that just came out. It's coming out in April. But it kind of gives you a little bit of Nier, a little bit of McCry, a little bit of Sekiro in there. But it's kind of like its own thing. And that's what going into the demo and leaving it, that's what I felt like. It didn't feel like a clone of other things. It kind of felt like its own kind of game. You know, you always say, oh, it feels like this game. Well, no, I think it felt like its own type of game. It has its quirks. There are a couple of things I didn't like, but for the most part, I really do think this is gonna be a really fun game to play, and it's gonna have a fun cult following once everything's settled.
Oh, it's gonna be fun, all right. It's gonna be fun, all right.
Oh, yeah.
So it's gonna be fun. I agree. I think this game was I was pleasantly surprised.
That's good.
Because we talked about this, and obviously from an outside perspective, you're looking at this game and like, this game looks really fun. This looks great. Like the graphics look crazy. Gameplay looks kind of cool. Like everything about it looks AAA budget, right? And so seeing that last trailer, I was like, I don't know. Something's wrong with it. Something seems weird. Playing the game feels good. Like let me backtrack. Playing the game felt better than what I expected. There were times where I did feel, and we had this discussion on Discord, follow us on Discord here, it felt a little clunky. There were some aspects where it felt slightly clunky, but again, this is a demo. It could be fixed. You know, a lot of the things that we're talking about can definitely be fixed with some updates, but there were some weird fighting mechanics and it just didn't feel smooth. It didn't feel like, you know, that polished for the, and just the fighting aspect, right? Everything else, I mean, it felt great moving. You know, there was more to do than I thought. There were more little hidden areas that I thought there would be, right? I thought this would just be a completely linear game. You're just going straight. You're just kind of following the path. But there are other paths that you can take and find, like, hidden items and a lot of stuff that you can kind of do to upgrade your character. There's a lot there. And I think we only just played the first 20-30 minutes of the game. But it feels like there's so much more to the game than what we played, right?
Yeah, exactly. We only got a small sliver of the game, and what I did play, I did like. I think the clunkiness you're feeling is you couldn't really tell when the enemy was going to hit you or not. Their movement was kind of sporadic. I didn't love the guarding. I thought the pairing didn't feel as quick as it should have felt. I felt like there was like a slight delay when I would hit the button when I would actually do it. So that was a bit of a learning curve. I did enjoy story mode more than normal mode, just because of that timing, it made it a little easier for me to pull off the cool moves. When I was in normal mode, it was really difficult for me to pull off those moves, which is nice because it gives you the two options. If you want a fun, flashy adventure action, and you can go right in and not die a million times, or you can kind of have that Souls route where the difficulty kind of spikes and you got to be really, really precise of what you're doing. So overall, I do have one more gripe about the game. And this is the only gripe I really have other than the whole guarding thing. The voice acting was kind of weird.
Yeah.
It didn't fit. It was weird. I wanted to change it to, like, I think it's a Korean based game, right?
It is.
Yes. Yeah. I think I wanted to change the language to Korean because the English voice acting just felt off to me. This didn't feel genuine. It made Eve feel kind of like her voice didn't fit her. It didn't fit her. Yeah, yeah. So, like, her expressions were kind of weird at some times where that one scene happens and you're just like, you would think someone would be like, oh, shit, like, that's great. No, there was no real emotion, but she's slick. She's cool. So, give her that.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I agree. I might have to change just to see how it is in the Korean side and just kind of see if the voice acting for the Korean side feels more authentic, right? But overall, I think this is it. I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm pretty sure this might be a day one for me. I have to see a little bit more and just kind of see. It's coming out soon, so we're not too far off, but I'm pleasantly surprised. And I think this is just an easy, just like, hey, I'm just going to pick this up, play, go through the motions, beat the game, enjoy what I'm playing, and just have a good time, you know?
Is this full price? Is it $70 when it comes out, or is it $60?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, it's $70. Okay. There's, yeah.
$70. Yeah, it is. Shift Up is the developer. That's what I was trying to. Comes out April 26, 2024.
Yeah. A couple weeks, I guess. But Rob, enough about Stellar Blade. Let's get in to the Daily Duo.
The Daily Duo.
First up on the Daily Duo here, Tales of Kinzera Za hits PlayStation Plus day one. It was previously confirmed that the debut game for Surgent Studios would be released on April 23rd, 2024 for Xbox Series X, S, PS5, PC, and Nintendo Switch. On Tuesday, yesterday, Extra and Premium members on the day of its release, the game is being directed by actor Abubakar Salim, who played Bayek in the Assassin's Creed Origins, that's pretty cool, and Rockin in recent World of Warcraft expansion. Rob, I haven't followed this game too much. I've seen it here and there, but this looks very cool. Like, it has like cool vibes to it. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I saw one piece of gameplay where he was doing like a command mail wave, and I was like, that's kind of freaking sick. So I'm actually really, really pumped for this game. So pumped that I might pick up a PS Plus subscription to play it when it does release, just because this game is intriguing me so much. It kind of I liked Prince of Persia, but for me, something about Prince of Persia threw me off where I couldn't really get into it as much. But I feel like I could really get into this, and I don't know what's the difference. I don't know if it's just the character, the moveset, the type of forms that you change. It kind of gives me a little bit of Ori mixed with Prince of Persia, but it also feels like its own thing. Yeah, there's a little bit of Ori in there with the way the movements are it's not, I don't want to say it's a Metroidvania, but I like the traversal. I like the powers that you get. Everything looks sleek. So I can't wait to play this.
Yeah, especially that this is obviously the news piece of the day here. It's available on PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium on day one, which is great, right? So this is something that we can definitely check out if we wanted to and see what the hype is about. But it really does seem like this game might, you know, make some headlines simply because of the art style, simply because of the way it's kind of carrying itself, right? Kind of doing its own thing, but also being kind of like you know, what's the other games that you mentioned, like Assassin's Creed, Yori, right?
Yeah, Ori, or Will-O-the-Wisp.
I'm sorry, Will-O-the-Wisp. So yeah, I'm definitely interested in how this game kind of pans out. If you do buy it, obviously let us know, because I'm interested to see. I don't think this is going to be a day one for me, though. I don't think I'm going to actually get this day one, simply because I tried that with Prince of Persia. I played the demo, right? And I played it for a decent amount, and it didn't grab me as much. So I feel like I would do myself a disservice if I did the same thing with this one. But who knows, right?
It might not be your genre, right? Like that, the side scroller, other than like Metroid, right? It might not be your type of genre with the side scroller. But
do we know if this is like a Metroidvania, like same kind of like
I don't know if I would call it that. You know, you could say it is, but I kind of think it follows more of like, it looks to me like the way you the traversal and the way you're navigating the levels, it seems more of like an Ori, but more on action, because Ori, you didn't really, there wasn't as much action. Like there's enemies, but you didn't like go crazy. This one looks like there's a lot of action involved, a lot of fighting, which is really cool. So very, very excited to play this. What's the name of the game? Absolutely. Tales of Kenzera.
Kenzera. Moving on to the next news piece here. WoW Boss might be interested in licensing the IP to third parties, but with a catch. During an interview with IGN, John Haidt, general manager, said that he would be interested in opening up the beta, but only in circumstances if the circumstances would be perfect. I'm sorry, open up the idea, not the beta. I'm open to it because I want to have Warcraft out there a little bit more than it is now. And I also don't want to have us grow so fast that we're no longer able to serve the audience we have. He also continues saying, we're certainly open to people who really get it and have a cool idea about how to express Warcraft. And if we feel like aesthetically, they're going to be able to hit the bar. This would be really interesting to see, kind of like if they take the, you know, the Riot route, which would really be really cool. But Rob, what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you want them to kind of give their IP to other studios and make something else, like a different kind of style, different art style, different genre of the WoW series?
I mean, yeah, at this point, it's like kind of have different things to get people into WoW. As far as like maybe someone's not an MMO fan, but they like the lore of WoW. They want to do it that way. Same thing with League, right? Maybe they don't like, you know, the MOBA type of gameplay, but they like the characters. They like the story. That gets them involved in the world without, you know, being able to play something that they enjoy, but with the characters they enjoy, excluding the gameplay. So I think it's a good move, but I think he is right where WoW has to move, you know, has to pick someone that's going to do their IP justice, because you know, if we saw from Riot, there were some of the games that they were doing and they didn't really hit, that the way they wanted to. So I think WoW is just kind of seeing that and being like, okay, make sure that if we do go that route, that we have people that are vetted and that we know it's going to come out with the vision that we want, right? Work closely with WoW to make sure that it comes out the way it does. Do you agree?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, again, Riot has done a decent job when it comes to that, right? I think their latest title that I'm looking forward to is that 2X KO game, that fighting game.
For sure.
That one looks really cool. Terrible name, but looks really cool nonetheless. And you kind of like put them against Marvel too, right? Marvel is doing the exact same thing where they're putting, like, they're distributing their IP to different developers and they're picking and choosing which developer would be the best, best one to fit the needs of that game. And I think it's kind of working out for them, right? Because they don't have their own dedicated studio, but right, they're licensing out their IP and they're still making a very good chunk of money, and they're having these titles without the expense of having the budget that they need, or right, without having like that, the other issues that come with having your own studio, right? So this might be a good move for the WoW, you know, IP. So I'm looking forward to that. I just, again, it depends on who they choose for their IPs and what studios they're looking into. So it'll be interesting if you have, like, you know, I mean, this would be the big three, right? But like Microsoft or Sony doing something from one of their studios, like that would be interesting. But I can see them more leaning towards like EA, Ubisoft, something along those lines of like, hey, make this property based off of the WoW series and make it, as you know, kind of like throw the Ubisoft flair to it, throw the EA flair to it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many characters within that, you know, that series that you could see that like people would love to see in a different environment. But maybe people don't want that. Maybe there's people that are like, no, keep WoW the way it is, keep it close to their chest. But I'm sure Blizzard, now that under Microsoft, right, are want to explore ways to make money off of it. So we'll see what they do with that. So
yeah, for sure. Moving on, guys, if you're enjoying this episode, rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, drop a review, and remember to follow us on all social media platforms. Be part of the Gaming Duel community by joining our Discord server, where friendships are built through gaming. 1000%, guys, it helps us so much if you just head on over to Spotify or Apple, rate us, right, first of all. But if you want to go the extra mile, if you want to take it a step further, go beyond a super channel, you can definitely head over and rate us and leave a review. Say, hey, you guys are great. Hey, you guys are trash. Let us know.
Don't do that.
Spam us, please. Don't do that. But if you do like what we do, that'd be great if you did that. Back to the news. Real quick here, Dragon's Dogma 2 has sold 2.5 million units. Amazing, right? I think Dragon's Dogma 2, if I'm not mistaken, real quick, it sold roughly 1 million copies, if I'm not mistaken, in like the first something months. It sold more than 1 million, but at some point it kind of hit like a peak or something. But nonetheless, this sold 2.5 in like 10 days, which is pretty...
You're talking about Dragon's Dogma 1?
One, yes.
Okay. You said,
do you have the stats for that?
I don't have the stat for when the time frame was, but I think Dragon's Dogma 2 probably sold better than Dragon's Dogma 1.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, definitely, for sure. But let's see. Since the release of the first game in 2012, the series garnered praise worldwide, yada, 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 leading the series to exceed 10 million units sold cumulatively. Okay, so it sold 10 million total, but because of Dragon's Dogma 2 selling 2.5 million, it just bolstered that number. Great news, you know, people are enjoying it. I see Nick playing it, he's enjoying it, he's playing nonstop. You know, kudos to you guys. You're not gonna get this game, right? You're like set in stone.
I'll probably get it at some point, or try it out, but right now I got Final Fantasy that I'm working on, and then there's Persona 3 Reloaded, which is gonna take
Final
years.
Fantasy, let me tell you about Final Fantasy right now, man. I'm dragging it right now, dude, because this minigame,
it's,
if
so
you guys follow
easy.
Us on social, it is not easy.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yes,
it's such
it
a
literally
pain
glows.
In the ass.
He has his arm and he'll go think and he'll hold the arm that you can hit, and you hit him when he does that.
I don't think so. Okay, so based off of what the instructions from the minigame say, right, you have to dodge his moves.
Dodge,
is that not
left,
what you're supposed to do?
Or you dodge left or right, depending on when he's going to hit you.
Right.
And then you hit him when his guard is
now
down.
Are you dodging? I know that. That's easy. Are you dodging the opposite side of where his arm is lifted?
No. Like you're dodging where he's going to punch.
Right. So this is the thing. They don't explain that well. And when you have the instructions right there, it's saying it has like the left and right analog stick, like opposite directions. So how do you dodge, first of all? Tell me left. With your controller in your hand. Pretend like you have the controller in your hand. What do you do?
This is funny.
Rob's grabbing his controller. I'm not alone. I'm not alone on this, all right? What are you pressing? What are you looking at?
That's all I'm doing.
That's what I do. I've done so many things, and it did not work. It did not work.
I don't understand how you're having such a hard time, because it is literally just flicking your stick.
On top of that, it is motions. Like, you have to use motion controls.
Kelvin,
too.
Do you need me to do it for you? Do you need me to do it for you?
I did it. It took me like 15 minutes. Cloud was getting his ass beat for 10 minutes, but I eventually did it. I honestly can't even tell you how I did it, because the controls just weren't really working the way I wanted them to. Like, if I move to the right or I move to the left, it would say, oh, you're too slow. Sorry, you're too slow. You're too slow. You're too slow. How, motherfucker? Like, I was literally pressing it at the exact time. You know what I mean? And then the motion control. Do you use the motion control, or are you just flicking your wrist?
No, I'll use the motion control. No way. I didn't use that. I just used my control sticks, my analog sticks to do it.
I don't get it. Let us know if you guys enjoyed that mini game, because it was, if you guys know what I'm talking about, you know. If you know, you know, because
that was chapter eight.
Once you get there, it's atrocious. Anyways, moving on real quick here. Sony is planning a PlayStation showcase next month. These are just rumors, but they are showcasing some pretty heavy titles here. I don't know if you have a list of what rumored games that are expected to show, Rob, but I saw like they were thinking about the new Ben Studio IP, Ghost of Tsushima 2, Metal Gear Solid 3, Silent Hill 2. Here's the thing. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to get all that stuff, right? I think if I'm a betting man, I think what we're going to see is Metal Gear Solid 3 seems like a clear contender.
Safe
there.
Bet. Yep.
Safe bet.
Silent Hill 2. And yeah.
Silent Hill 2, safe bet for sure. Now, the big two, Ghost of Tsushima 2 and Ben Studio, right? My guess, Ben Studio is not in this at all, because they rumors have it that they are working on a game as a service title. We all know Sony's shifting gears, right? So I don't know if that, unless it's the opposite, unless they're like, all right, we just got to ship this shit. So just show it, release it, kill it, whatever. But at this point, I don't think they're going to do that. Ben Studio still kind of holds, something dear to Sony. So I don't think they're just going to release something that they don't want. And I think they're just going to revert back, not kind of do the game as a service thing and do something a little bit different. But Ghost of Tsushima 2, I do think they will show that maybe as like the closure,
Possibly.
That would be really cool. That would be like a cool pop. So, you heard it here first, guys.
But
you heard
it here rumored. First. It is rumored. We're not sure it's actually going to happen, but it's probably going to happen.
And when is that? Next month? So that's what, May? So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, May.
Just before summer. Summer. Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
Rob, why don't you take us to the next news piece here?
There is a new game by Yellow Brick Games dev. It's titled Eternal Strands. It is a... it was revealed today. Reform viewers that the game is now available to wishlist on Steam, PS5, and Xbox. It will be releasing in 2025. Chief Creative Officer Mike Laidlaw, who is best known for a former director of Dragon Age franchise, he co-founded Yellow Brick Games in 2020. The co-founders are AAA veterans who work on titles such as Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed Syndicate. It is a team of 68 people using Unreal Engine 5. It's a cool-looking game. It's a third-person action adventure. You'll play as Bryn, a fearless weaver trying to uncover the truths and mysteries of her culture home. It showed a bunch of creatures you could fight and climb, similar to something from like Shadow of the Colossus, which is really cool. Not in that scale, but kind of like more of a cartoony feel. And you were able to use different elements to interact with the environment. So that was really interesting. And it looks like a pretty fun, like little hidden gem here. I liked what I saw on the gameplay video. So I don't know about you, but I don't know if you watched the trailer, but it looks like a pretty cool game.
I did watch the trailer. It looks really cool. It actually looks great. honestly. Like, based off of what we've seen, looks really cool. Again, like you said, it definitely gives us the Shadow of the Colossus vibes. Not to the grand scale as like what Shadow of the Colossus did, but maybe, you know, maybe they're not showing all their hands, right? All their hands in their, or their cards, all their cards in their hands. And then they, it kind of has that cartoony look to it, similar to like Immortals, like Breath of the Wild, whatever, like something like that. So it definitely has a cool vibe to it. It definitely has potential because it looks cool. The character looks cool. We haven't really didn't see much besides some of the enemies that you'll encounter and who these enemies would look like and how they, you know, how you are scaling these enemies. So looks cool. I'm kind of interested. I'll keep looking to see, you know, any more updates on this game, but nonetheless, definitely check it out because Eternal Strands definitely looks like something that could potentially be some like a banger. You know,
it does look really cool. Like watching, if you I'm watching it right now, and
yeah,
you know, you're scaling the bigger enemies and stabbing them in the back and climbing on them. You're using your psychic powers. You have ice powers. You could literally freeze them in real time. And the environments look really cool. The enemy variations look really cool. There's an archer looking dude. He has like wing ears, and he has it. They just look pretty well done. So I'm excited to keep an eye on this one.
Yeah, the colossal enemies look really cool too. So I'm looking out for this game because this looks really cool. And plus, you have a pretty banger studio, right? You have a pretty, you know, veterans, pretty AAA veterans there. So I'm sure, you know, they can pull off something really cool.
For sure. They kind of remind me of the Chozo. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but the bird figures in Metroid. You know what I'm talking about? Like the
bird people. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of them a little bit, which is really cool. I think, is it Chozo or Chazo? Chozo. It literally translates to bird person race. So,
okay. Hey, you know what? Let's move on. Bungie plans to show off the delayed Destiny 2 expansion, The Final Shape, next week. The studio will stream half-hour developer gameplay preview on April 9th at 9:30 PT, 12:30 Eastern Time. It will be followed by a worldwide premiere of Into the Light's launch trailer. Bungie officially delayed Final Shape in November, originally given a February 27th, 2024 release date. The Final Shape is now scheduled to launch on June 4th. Quote, The Final Shape is a culmination of the first 10 years of Destiny storytelling, and for Guardians Everywhere, countless hours spent together. Rob, we're not really big on Destiny, unfortunately. We played the first one, we played the second one, but we fell off pretty quickly. What do you think about this as far as their, I think this is their final, hence the name, their final you know, expansion pack. So what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I know this was delayed quite a bit, but I think this is kind of like its one song before they kind of, you know, start gearing towards different things. And I know yesterday we covered the new CEO for PlayStation went to Bungie and said he liked what he saw as far as like morale and stuff like that. But he wants to change gears to what Bungie's doing with Destiny. So it's exciting to see what the final shape will look like. And is it going to adopt a ton of people? I think it will. I think it's going to get a lot of users on there just because we know it's probably the last DLC. So I think it'll attract a lot of players. Yeah, that's what I think for Destiny 2. Honestly, I it's kind of a shame that I couldn't really get into Destiny just because, again, you have to watch a 6-hour lore video to understand what's going on. But it's a lot of games, I guess. You think of Kingdom Hearts, it's the same thing. You got to watch a freaking 20-hour video. So
you just have to be there like day one to like really understand.
Yeah, that's what it is. If like you're day one and you are up to date on like what's going on, what are the new drops, what are the new expansions, and where to go and what to do, then you're in it, right? It's your thing. But for me, it just wasn't my thing. But this is really cool that they were pretty good with their DLCs. They released a lot of good ones. I know we downloaded a few, but yeah.
Yeah, listening to Blood and Pixels, I just finished the Bungie, the Destiny one. And it, man, the things that developers struggle with, right, on a day-to-day, just scrapping things entirely, scrapping assets, changing things up, revisiting things over and over. Like, there's so many things that go into making a video game, especially a game of this caliber, of, like, Bungie's kind of, like, Destiny's scale, right?
Right.
It's insane that these games even release, but You know, kudos to them. They're making things work. And I'm really interested to see what they do after this. But I mean, obviously, we know Marathon is one of those things. But are they going to move on to a completely different title? Are they going to potentially do Destiny 3, something along the lines of a, you know, kind of a games as a service again? Like, what is their plan? You know, because they've kind of paved the way to the game as a service, right? And they're probably one of the few that done it right. So
yeah,
it's interesting to see what they do next with the path that they left off, you know?
For sure. Yeah. We'll have to see. We'll have to keep up to update as far as like what they're doing, but I think they're in good hands with Sony, and I think Sony's going to put them in the right direction that they need to go to succeed and give us some titles that are going to be bangers. So.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother.
Oh yeah, brother. Thank you guys so much. This has been the Gaming Duo for today. Big shout out and thank you to all of our listeners. Oh, look at that fidget. Look at that fidget spinner. Again, make sure to review, share, like, subscribe, and get notified on all of our content heading your way. We will be back tomorrow with a special guest.
Hey, stay tuned.